So that nobody can see us. Oh, wait a minute. What's going on
here? Can you hear me okay? How's the sound level?
Oh, it sounds good. Sounds great.
Okay.
So we're live, but we're not live. So you go to my Facebook page and yeah, here we go. Turn music on. Stop. So there, now I'm going to go. There we go. Again, you ready? There you go. It's good to see you again. We used to talk a lot.
Okay. I'm ready.
Let's go public here. Yep, okay. Now we really are live. We are live. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kevin White Show. I changed my title, by the way. This is also the Patriot Nation Radio, the American Weekend Show. So I do simulcast. And our guest tonight is Mr. Wayne Schultz. This is an actual music that I use on my radio podcast for the intro. Just a different version. So everybody wants to talk to me or leave a message, go right ahead. Wayne is actually... I'll let Wayne explain who he is and what he does. So go ahead, Mr. Schultz. Wayne Schultz, welcome to the program. Glad to have you here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Keeping out of trouble?
It's not about me, though.
Keeping out of trouble? Jet sitting from one side of the globe to the other?
Just because we had an engine failure. That's what made the trip really long. And then did I tell you, on the way back, I slept in the terminal. I didn't get back. I was supposed to get back Friday, but I got back Saturday night.
That's
fuck, yeah. It was a long, long night. Anyway,
I try not to think about that. I'm on the road all the time, so
yeah,
these days.
Yeah. So tell us why you're on the road. Tell us your occupation. And
presently, I'm a truck driver, semi-retired designer, engineer, illustrator. I've worked in Hollywood for 35 years and trucking for 40 plus years.
Oh,
and
wow.
it's been a nice, it's complemented my career, both careers. When I'm between gigs, I've driven everything from flatbeds, bulldozers to full size tow motors, heavy equipment, you name it. I've basically been able to live out every childhood dream I ever had. So I'm pretty happy guy. And what I'm doing right now is no different than pretty much what I've been able to do my entire life. So God's been good. God's been kind. I'm a happy camper. How about you?
So you don't do part-time hospital work anymore. Is that correct?
No. I was a technician at the hospital during COVID. And
okay.
by God's grace, I made it through that because I was born with some respiratory issues, but I was watching that whole thing go down and just shaking my head. I could see how the hospital was operating. It was all profit, oriented profit motive. I understood exactly what was going on at that time, but no, there was a point where they were trying to force me to get the vaccination. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. You can't force me to get, I'm an American. You can't force me to get anything I don't want to put into my body. And I don't want that vaccine in my body. Now, fast forward what we know now about the vaccine and the issues it's causing in people's lives. And, I'm glad I stuck to my guns. They were literally veiled threats. You're going to fire me if I didn't get the shot. Go have at it. I'll sue you. Also, that took us off this hospital, the administration, county, everybody. More the merrier.
That's a shame, though, because well, in this country, we know that we have rights for our own bodies, but they suspended everything. They thought, well, I do know. Yeah, I wasn't going to take it. It's just something. Mine is different. Mine is after you get out of the military, you're done with shots. I know a lot of veterans are like, I'm
yeah, you know, I felt bad when they were forcing military personnel to get vaccinated. Unfortunately, when you sign up for the military, they own you. Literally, you become a piece of their property. I mean, on the one hand, I get it. On the other hand, these are our fellow Americans who basically set their lives aside, at the least, at the worst, they sacrifice their lives, and you treat them, you know, with that type of, in my book, disdain. There's no excuse for that. You know, I did not like that at all.
You can get exceptions there too, but I mean, all the exceptions were like non-valid. You know, they were going back and undoing exceptions. So,
yeah,
and that's kind of sad, but we want to talk about
now. Either. Now, especially after the fact, what we know, what I knew before then, I don't know if I mentioned this before, I was in China for, had my own studio over there for just shy of 12 years. And right before I left, I wrote a script that was based upon a virus that was created in a lab in Wuhan. And then when it was right before, 2 years before it happened, I still have friends in Shanghai, right? And this is before Xi Jinping came into office. So here's Xi Jinping comes into power right after I leave, when Obama came into, I'll say came into power. He was selected, not elected. It's the same as they've all been since JFK. But that being said, without digressing further, I had friends telling me that, Wayne, you won't believe what's going on here. They are cremating bodies in the hundreds of thousands. What are you talking about? I'm not seeing it in the news here. I mean, that was more of a typical response. Well, I don't see it in the news. If it's not in the news, it must not be real. But these were, I made friends with people in the Chinese Politburo. Politicians, and Shanghai is one of the largest provinces, and it has the most financial and political power. But they were literally telling me that they had furnaces running. You thought Auschwitz? Wow. We're talking millions of Chinese, millions, and they couldn't run enough furnaces to be burning all these bodies because they were deathly afraid. I mean, it was created in China. Everybody knows it now after the fact, but I knew it because, what could I do? What could I say? Who's going to believe me? What do I know? Right. And yeah. you get that pushback, you know, it's just best. So, you know, fast forward when I was working as a technician at the hospital and I could see these bodies coming in and I could see exactly who it was that was dying of COVID. If you were healthy, a healthy adult, a child, so you're good. And so I was saying at that time, you know, this thing isn't even as bad as a common cold or flu. Now, if you're someone who's susceptible because it's an engineered virus, obviously you're in trouble. And that's why they needed to put the vaccination. They knew what was going on. This vaccination is nothing. Even that's a cover story. The vaccination for COVID. COVID was engineered. Well, how do you deal with an engineered virus? You can't tell people that it's of natural origins, because if it was, then your body, but that's what they were telling people, your body would be able to fight it if it's natural. It had natural defenses, right?
Right, yeah.
So you're putting an engineered antibody, right, in a person's body because it was an engineered virus. So you had to fight fire with fire, and even then, after the fact, it actually helps the virus. It doesn't kill the virus. You still get the virus. So what good was it? But I knew, I had suspected, I think in a former life, had I had time, if God gave us 36 hours in a day like Mars or 38 hours in a day, I probably would have tried my hand at being a doctor too, an MD. And that's just something science in general, biology, I've always had an interest in, hence the script I wrote. I think at the right time, when we're ready to pitch that, we'll pitch it. I don't think politically right now is a good time. Well, you know what I'm saying? Right, nothing's right. A good time to speak the truth right now. I mean, you see it all over social media. Thank God that Elon Musk bought Twitter, because a lot came out, which us conspiracy theorists, which that's what we were saying, you know, we're being censored, and, you know, they're suppressing the truth. And but isn't that what communists do? Isn't that what Marxists do? When you're Joseph Stalin, when you're Mao Zedong, when you're Adolf Hitler. The funniest thing I can remember since I was a kid, people calling, for example, Adolf Hitler a conservative. And I can remember as a kid, how do you figure? The guy was a socialist. Nazi stands for National Socialist Workers right. Party.
So, yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, so, but now you're starting to hear a little bit, you know, where people are calling it for what it is. But, you know, I'm a big history buff.
Yeah.
So, even when you see documentaries, for example, if you watch these documentaries on YouTube, and you can see, because I lived in China, you know, a communist, you can't get any more communist than that in today's world. When right. you see a particular agenda and narrative being promoted, you recognize the propaganda right off the bat. So, for example, even a documentary, let's say, about Adolf Hitler or Stalin, they'll skirt around the truth, right? And they'll tell us, like, for example, they're saying in this one documentary that Hitler was trying to make Germany great again. Now, what is, I'm a really? Fairly intelligent guy. What does that say in your mind? Well, they're trying to yes. associate Adolf Hitler with President yes. Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
By yeah. using that phraseology. So we're going to yeah, cover a wide spectrum yeah, here. So you steer me in the direction you want to go.
Obviously, it didn't turn out. It didn't turn out. It wasn't going that way. You know, there's no wars or anything. However, I think that's the way. I mean, this is. I reminded of 1984 and what's that other movie? I can't remember the other movie. I'm thinking about it today. Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome
gotta
film.
Watch those. You got to watch
those. It's a classic. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. I love the vehicle, the fire truck. Oh my yeah. goodness. Yeah. It's just, it's like magic, you know, the way they put these
yeah. things together. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of science fiction. I write science fiction. For example, you remember Soylent Green. When that came out, I think I was 13 years old. And so I was officially studying in junior high school, writing, and went all the way through to my college years. But that being said, I can remember looking at Soylent Green, any science fiction, Fahrenheit, 451, 1984, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that could never happen in America.
Yeah.
Guess what? Here we are today, some 50 years later, and oh, yeah, it's happening in America. And Soylent Green, if these people aren't yeah. familiar with these films, take a look at Fahrenheit 451. Take a look yes. at 1984. Take a look at exactly what we're talking about, you know, yeah. Soylent Green. They're eating Soylent Green as people. Well, yeah, that's eventually, look, they, when you try and, for example, Bill Gates, one of these globalists who's promoting eating bugs, I don't know about you, but it's not too appetizing, you know, pig with lipstick is still a pig with lipstick in my book. So, yeah, I'm not going to eat bugs. I like a nice juicy steak. Yeah, but they right. do all this. They do all this, number one, to control. It doesn't matter. I mean, it was like this 10, 12,000 years ago when the first civilizations were arising. Religions were used to control, you know, populations. Oh, we know the truth. We have, you know, very close, intimate relations with, you know, God with a lowercase g, because there's only one God with a uppercase g. That being said, we're no different today than they were yesterday. You know, you look at, for example, the theory of evolution. We haven't evolved. We're still the same as we've ever been. If there was such a thing as evolution, well, why aren't the great apes manufacturing cars and computers? We no. came from that, right? But it's just science fiction. Right, science fiction is awesome on the one hand because it's always a what if scenario. And you can see history, right? The best science fiction, for example, takes history and basically intermingles it with the story so that you can present. And it's usually most good science fiction is also a social commentary. Same thing can be said of Star Wars. It's a social commentary.
Right.
You know, who's the Republic? Right? Who are the rebels?
Right.
You know, the rebels are the people that are fighting for the freedom to do what they want. But, you know, the Republic, you know, they have good intentions in mind. They want us to be a one universe order, right?
Right.
So the best science fiction in my book, which is why I love science fiction so much, is you can entertain people and make a social commentary at the same time. That's what Fahrenheit 451 does. That's what Soylent Green does, right? That's what 1984, which we're in the thick of right now, that's what that does. So, yeah, I mean, I see a decline in people's ability to think independently, to think for themselves. These days, they don't want you thinking for you. No. You got to think what we want you to think. That's why you see what you see on the lamestream media. I won't even turn that on. And now, of course, you see how Fox, spelled F-A-U-X, news is these media. I prefer to call it Fox Media, not news. News is basically the people themselves. It's disseminated to the people, and was supposed to work as the fourth branch of government, unofficially, where they disseminate information, news, to we the people, and they do it honestly, and then we make up our minds what the truth is, where the truth lays. We used to be very good at that, not so much anymore.
Hey, did you remember back in the 70s, if you watched the old 80s news broadcast, the national broadcast only had like 5 subjects?
Yeah, PBS.
Like CBS would come on and there'd be, and they spend like 10 minutes on one thing and then 5 minutes on another. They'd only have like 5 or 6, maybe 10 at the most. It was completely different and it was all investigative. They, at least they called people out. They called people, if you lied on TV,
yeah,
they would call you out. And they'd call you and invite you back on and say, hey, you said this isn't correct. But now, and it's only one guy. It's not like a whole team. There's a whole team of people now. You know?
Oh, your local
news is the worst.
Yeah. Though that's what the media used to be.
Yeah.
It's not what it is anymore. It's they're propagandists, and I thank God for my experience in China, because I, you know, when I started going over there in, let's see, the 90s, mid 90s. It really opened my eyes to propaganda. You know, it's unvarnished propaganda. It's just straight communist towing the government line. But it opened my eyes to, we have a very sophisticated form of propaganda, which programming, there's a reason they call it programming. I was a programmer once upon a time. I used to sit down and write computer code. You know, in machine language, everyone's seen The Matrix, right? Where those streams of ones and zeros that are coming across the screen, that's all machine language. And that's what actually runs behind the scenes. What you see in HTML, et cetera, that's just user-friendly programming code. But each one of those has a string of machine code associated to it, anything alphanumeric. But that being said, there's a reason that broadcasters call it programming. It's because you're programming the population to think a certain way, right? They're writing a line of programs so that the mind that's basically being fed that programming, that's what they think. So when I, for example, look at the lamestream programming that I see these days, pick your propagandist organization, you know, all of them are basically towing a particular, it's weird because I can step back and look at it and see it exactly for what it is, but even the most, when they call themselves well-informed person, they're oblivious to it. I mean, you go from CNN to MSNBC to CBS, NBC, pick your propaganda. Yeah. There's a real similar undercurrent. It doesn't matter which one it is.
Well, yeah, because they're all owned by the same people, or there's very few owners.
Exactly. But if I were a critically thinking American, when I do that, I know what I see, but what I'm shocked at is how the average American, how dumbed down they are, and how they're unable to see that, wait, this is propaganda, because I can go to CNN, I can go to, and they're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, right.
They're no different.
You got a great point there, because I know that, like, the local news, whatever emblem they wear, they parrot whatever the parent company says. Like, your network, your national network decides what you're going to say. And they all, right. say, you know, where they should everybody say the same thing. You
know, they all get their marching orders from the same people.
Right.
You've been in the military. You know how that works. So, you know, to use that phraseology, you know, they get their marching orders.
Right.
Doesn't matter whether it's local, state, or federal. Well, that should be telling you something. I'm just wondering, at what point do we get the American Revolution 2.0 off the ground? I'm getting older here, folks.
Well, that's called a dangerous insurrection, though. That's, you know, there people will be all over that. So,
yeah. Well, they called the January 6th, which wasn't an insurrection. It was all coordinated, directed by the FBI. You know, commandeered basically CIA, DOG, DOJ, and it was all in an effort to do exactly what they're doing. For example, to President Trump. It could be anybody. It doesn't matter. Just in this instance, it happens to be President Donald Trump. And why is that? I voted for the man. I waited 30 plus years, but I didn't vote for him because he was perfect. I voted for him because he was a perfect man for the job. If you're an intelligent, for example, employer, you don't employ somebody because you particularly like them. Now, they need social skills. They have to be able to get along with their fellow workers, right? That's just smart, being a smart employer. That being said, you're going to hire the most qualified person. Are they intelligent? Right. Do they know their job? How much experience do they have? In the end, how much money are they worth? Because how much money are they going to save me because of how well they do the job? So, for example,
it's the same with any job, you know, any occupation, or somebody's going to run something, you get the best person. And then the people with the experience.
Right. I'll tell you. Exactly. And I'll tell you something else. The problem, which is what made up into, I would say, the present century, with the past 50 years seeing a decline in American capabilities. Every dictator, the reason they fall is because they surround themselves with yes men.
Right.
And it doesn't pick them. It doesn't matter who they are. Caesar, you take your pick.
Right.
Go back 3,000 years, 4,000 years. It doesn't matter. When you're dictatorial, you're dictating, right? You don't just dictate to the people that you're oppressing, right? Which, for example, Rome, in the later stages of Rome, you also, the more corrupt you become, you have to invade, and that's what happened with imperial governments. Think of England. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm not picking on people. Americans, the original Americans, came here to flee religious persecution. That was their primary motivation. So that was, well, we don't want to worship a state, official state religion, which is what they were fleeing. So now you get to the point where we're at in America, where, you know, they play fast and loose with Americans' liberties, freedoms, and rights, right? They're dictating to us what we can and cannot do, what we can and cannot say, what we can and cannot think. Okay, when does it end? And when do Americans wake up and realize, hey, this isn't the America? We're still better than a lot of other countries, which is why people flee other countries to come here, right? But, for example, what you see going on with all this illegal immigration, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that the average American isn't aware of. Okay, why would they allow? Well, obvious reasons now. We see it after the 2020 elections. You can flood the ballot boxes with fraudulent ballots, right? You get illegals to vote. They don't know any better. Here, you know, you get $2,000 a month. You get free housing. You get a free car. You get a free phone. They're coming from Mexico where you don't get diddly squat.
Right.
So come here. And the way these people look at it, what was it? Sun Tzu said, the fool will burn down his own country in order to rule over the ashes. Well, that's what you're looking at in the Biden administration. And well, who's behind the Biden administration? Well, you have to look deeper. It's obviously the People's Republic of China, right?
Yeah.
They had a vested interest in getting President Trump out of office. So, you see a lot of these things going on. If you're a critically thinking American and you put the... I learned one thing. I have a lot of friends in the... always have. I think it's because I was raised in a military family. You know, my family basically serving America and Americans for over 240 years. I mean, I'm related to President John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, John Adams, Samuel Adams. These are my relatives, right? So that's the reason I'm such a patriotic American, is I know my history and I was taught to appreciate history, so I don't forget the lessons of history. So what we're seeing going on right now is Americans that were dumbed down, and then you bring people in from outside of America who are very uneducated. What they need is workers. I'll tell you something else as a trucker that I see, not to digress further than I already have. I'm driving across Southwest America. I don't know, when you're flying over America and you can look down through the cloud deck, and if you can see the amount of industrial building that's going on, but I'm telling you, from Northern California to Nevada, Arizona, I am seeing hundreds, thousands of buildings being erected, concrete in weeks, months. One week I drive by, it's an empty field. The next week I drive by, where did that come from? And I'll tell you, the reason I'm mentioning this is they're not reporting on the news how much infrastructure is being built right now.
Right.
Well, why are they doing that? Well, because of COVID. What happened with COVID is the powers that be realized how vulnerable and susceptible America is to what? To China, right? Because we're shipping everything. Well, the world globally was becoming very reliant. But what China doesn't realize is it was the Western world, primarily America, who protected them with our Navy. It's our Navy that helped enforce to stop piracy. You're gonna see, for example, you're going to see an increase in piracy. You're going to see oil tankers, which we're starting to see already, that are being commandeered. You're going to see ocean-going freighters are being commandeered. Why? Well, because the U.S. Navy is stepping back, because we no longer wish to be the world's policeman. That's going to save us trillions of dollars. We'll still have the Navy we have, but there's a reason we're literally sending to the trash heap hundreds of millions of tons of naval steel. These are the pocket destroyers, all these support ships, right, that are able to go into shallow waters. What we have is a deep water Navy. And then when I hear these threats, oh, China's Navy, China's got 3 aircraft carriers. How many do we have right now? 12, I think. But that's a deep water Navy. That's meant to go in and basically project our power on other nations, right? That might mean us harm. But the fact remains that we're pulling back from being the global police force. We're not going to do the global shipping anymore. They're manufacturing infrastructure here stateside within a decade. Most everything that's first tier, second tier, third tier manufacturing, it's going to be done primarily in North America. That means Canada, United States, and Mexico. Why do you think, for example, the Biden administration hasn't touched NAFTA? That was one of President Trump's geniuses, right? Well, why do you think they're leaving that alone? Because even they can see the writing on the wall. Because even they know, okay, even though they were, here's the funny thing about powers that be that are corrupt. No matter what, for example, the globalists might think that they have China under their thumb. That's not the case. I spent almost 12 years living and working there. I know how shrewd the Chinese are. They were using us just like we were using them to get what they wanted so we can get what we wanted. We wanted what? Cheap goods, right? That could be manufactured for the whole world, Europe, everybody, United States, everyone. Well, now they've realized after COVID, we were extremely vulnerable, right? From a logistics standpoint, right? You're in the military, you know how logistics works. If you don't have good logistics, guess what? Doesn't matter what military offensive you have, it's for naught. Look what happened with Adolf Hitler during World War II, right? Look, why did we crush Saddam Hussein? Because we had an exceptional logistics network set up that could project that power no matter, and even then they had to slow down and wait for logistics to catch up, right?
Sometimes it takes a whole year for a deployment.
Do you think that's any different if you're trying to sell doodads, widgets, your goods and services anywhere? You need logistics. Well, we saw because of COVID how much that affected distribution networks, right? So that comes back, you know, circling back to why I am physically seeing most Americans, they don't get out of their town. They don't get out of their city. Me being a trucker, guess what? I see with my own two eyes what's going on, that most Americans don't have that benefit. And I kid you not that the infrastructure, logistics, the highways, the amount of money that's being poured, hundreds of billions of dollars into highways, even in California. Here's something else that Californians don't know. They're trying hard to increase the infrastructure, but California is going to be crippled ultimately in the end because they're too busy robbing Peter to pay Paul. So their roads, try as hard as they might, they have too many commitments, financial commitments to social programs, things like that. Look what's going on in San Francisco. You take a beautiful city and you turn it into what? An utter shithole. I go up to San Francisco. I see it happening weekly. Oakland, that area, it's just literally, it's turning into a third world country. I know I spent some time in third world countries. You probably did too. So it's just it's a shame to watch. You know, it's a shame. But at the same time, I'm hopeful because, for example, it's not just happening in the southwestern United States. It's happening across the United States. And you're going to see primarily a concentration in the United States of first-tier manufacturing. First-tier manufacturing is computers, your phones, tablets. It's high-tech. That's first-tier is high-tech. Second-tier would be everything from, say, good quality tools, machining apparatus, the things where you're able to make things. You produce injection molding machines, things like that, and those things that come from injection molding machines, like this case for my tablet. And then you've got third tier, which is primarily what China was giving the world, which was a lot of cheap goods. Well, you can manufacture that anywhere. But you're going to be seeing over the next 5 to 10 years that being pulled away from China. Which is why you don't see that on the mainstream media. Why is Russia, Brazil, Argentina, China, Saudi Arabia, why are they, you know, making pacts with one another?
Yeah, they have to.
They have to, but China and Russia, I'll tell you what, they've never liked each other. If you study history like I am, they don't trust each other. It's basically they're becoming bedfellows out of necessity. China needs, for example, the oil and gas that Russia can produce. Well, Putin shot himself in the foot by invading Ukraine. He didn't think the West, like all tyrants do, they miscalculate, right? They're too weak, you know. And China's probably letting them know, hey, this Biden guy, we own him, so not a lot's going to happen with him.
Well, that might be true. That's a good point.
That might be true to a certain extent, but we as a nation and people, if you're educated, you understand that we have the largest amount of arable farmland in the world. Mexico, you can only farm in Mexico, for example, in central, a very thin strip in the mid-belt region of Mexico. Northern Mexico is mostly desert. In dividing the two from each other are mountain ranges. You can't farm in a mountain range, and it's desert to the south, it's desert to the north. How do we know that? Well, it's our southern border, right? So Mexico was smart, and that they, Trump was smart, and renegotiating NAFTA, North American Trade Agreement, right? So the United States is going to be doing, sitting pretty good, sitting pretty. But they can't have Americans being confident. No, 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 no. They can't tell Americans the truth about their country and the wisdom and, most importantly, God's blessing to America. We have most of the natural resources that all the other countries don't have for ourselves. That includes oil, gas. Most of the farm, for example, when I was a kid growing up, you know, in grade school, I would always hear America's the breadbasket of the world. I didn't understand it really at the time. And now I do. We feed the rest of the world and ourselves and then some. That's our leverage. Always has been. The only reason, for example, it started in the late 60s, accelerated in the 70s through the 80s and 90s, was Americans' government was becoming less for we the people. And they were becoming corrupted, and they were being bribed by globalist interests. Well, you know, these globalists didn't realize that's why it's so important for them to have a new world order, you know, a global government, because they make out the few, they control the many, right? It's just another form of Marxism, but we're falling away from that. They don't want that. So everything they're doing right now are all these stopgap measures, but the fact remains, when Americans finally wake up and realize, you know what, I don't think we like this, you know what, let's just go back to isolationism, which we could do easily, you know what, we could protect, that's what America's Navy's for, is to protect our sovereign border from foreign nations coming into our country, like in the past, Great Britain, or in the future, China. But even listen, China is not in a position to project power. They can't. They've got three aircraft carriers that are basically for crap. They're for crap. They're jets, as much as it might tout it to try and make Americans fear it. Listen, I know technology. You know technology. You work with aircraft technology. Me being an engineer and having the experience I have with NASA and Boeing and other areas, it's talk about a paper tiger. Okay, they're stealth jet. It may look like ours, but guess what? China doesn't have the ability as far as the advanced technology goes. God knows what we've actually got behind the scenes. I suspect it's a lot more than what we see. For example, the F-22, the F-35, that's fifth generation. I suspect we're well beyond that, because we've been beyond that since the 1940s. The SR-71 still holds world records, speed records, and that's just what they disclose. You know, they'll disclose it's official, but that its official speed record is, what, 3,000 miles an hour? Well, they won't tell you that it can probably triple twice that, 6,000 miles an hour, because they want to keep it secret. Well, what else do they have? Now, it's come out recently. I don't want to sound like a nut job, but aliens have visited. Was that Air Force General just admitted?
Yeah, we've got some technology hidden away that Americans might be interested in.
Right. So, but who knows? I think, personally, I think in that regard, if it's that advanced ahead of our technology, you're going to have a hard time, because I'm an engineer. You have to figure out, you have to back engineer. Well, if you don't know how it works, i.e. its fuel source, okay, so it can levitate and defy the law of gravity because it creates its own gravity, right? Okay, well, it needs an energy source that's what? Not burning some type of gas or fuel, right? It's a fuel that we don't know about. Let's just say it's antimatter, right? Element 115, which ironically, for example, not to tout Bob Lazar, he was talking about that back in the 80s and people are rolling their eyes. Oh, yeah. Element one. Well, guess what? They can create very small amounts of it. Well, chances are, you know, that technology, wherever it comes from, they run it on a fuel that we have no clue about. You know, think about having a jet aircraft and landing it 10,000 years into the past, right? And then here you go. See if you can make it yourself. We're basically what? We're carving canoes out of fallen trees. Right. You think they're going to be able to figure out every system, the electrical systems?
Right, they wouldn't know what to do with that.
Right. That's kind of how I liken where we're at. Yeah, we're advanced for, you know, for our time, and for it's taken us 12,000 years to get here. You know, so how long did it take somebody else to get to that point? We don't know. Maybe they found it right off the bat. Maybe they're far more intelligent than us. Maybe they're not from another world. That's something I think about all the time. It's like, all right, if you're from another world and you're that advanced, why would you want to come here? The analogy that I often hear is you and I on any given day out in our garden, you know, you step over a pile of ants, you don't care what their world is. Right.
Yeah.
If you're a mean kid, you might even kick it over. Right. So why would somebody who why would somebody who's so advanced be interested in us? Why would they travel trillions of miles, right, to have sex with what?
right.
Us? Really? Maybe that's not how they procreate. Maybe they're biologically engineered, and so they don't need to procreate like we do. So why would they be interested in us?
So you're saying?
I mean,
so
that's a hypothetical.
So you're saying that they're out for they're going out for dinner or whatever they're doing. They're doing something that's just like, oh yeah.
Listen, they would give a rat's patootie about us. We would just be at best a curiosity. You know, if they're landing here, it's by accident, you know. And it's a big if. I'm more inclined, for example, to think of them as extra dimensionals, not extraterrestrials. Extraterrestrials because they're not of this world, but I think they're more like extra dimensionals. That makes more sense to me scientifically because of we already know there are 11 dimensions, right? Two dimensions is, you know, a book, right? Pick up a flat page, you know, pick it up. Yeah. You don't know what exists outside. If you were living within that world, you don't know about a three-dimensional world, let alone the four-dimensional world, which we are a part of ourselves, you, me, and everybody that's alive today and was ever alive on this planet. But point being that there's other dimensions. We know that scientifically because we can project it out mathematically, even though the woke community tried to spring some pretty crazy math on us. It's like, I don't know about you, but the math is the math. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. Even when you get into advanced calculus, formulas are the formulas, you know, trigonometry. And then there's talk about these people in this day and age. We're in the 21st century, and there's people that actually believe there's a flat earth. It's like, have you ever been up in an airplane?
So let me ask you a question. I can ask you a question. Did you hear this report?
What's that?
Las Vegas this week or last weekend, father and son were working on a car or something, and the ship crashed. It has a crash to the yard, and these 9-foot-tall giant eye creatures. This was on the national news. I heard that on WABC. I'm like, what? But there is Vegas, right? Vegas is close to all those experimental.
Yeah,
places.
I was actually out there this past week. I go out toward Nellis all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love seeing the F-22s, you know, especially when they're flying in formation or taking off. And then they hit afterburner and they go straight up.
Yeah, awesome. We used to fly.
But yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that.
I
chalk that up to, again, if it's anything, it's extra dimensionals, not extraterrestrials. And if you have a technology where you can transcend space and time, so in other words, you can travel from one dimension to another. We already know that the dimension you and I live in, there could be somebody living in another dimension occupying the same space. So that aspect of physics, two bodies can occupy the same space, right? That's a part of classical physics, right? Except unless you're in another realm, another dimension. And then
you know that. They did that all the time in the Old Testament.
Yeah, so I think, if anything, they're extra dimensionals. They're basically popping in and popping out at will. Or maybe, we don't know. Listen, God created the universe. One day, this all comes to an end. You know, if you read Revelations, you know, the God Almighty that created the universe, I think if he can do that, he can do it snap of his fingers anytime he wants to. So the reason he doesn't is because of his love for humanity. Point being that, me being a scientific guy and loving science, I have a medically tested IQ of 160 plus, so I can string these lines of logic together. You know, it's easy for me, but for the average person, once you start getting into that topic, their eyes kind of glaze over, and it's not a detrimental critique of people of average intellects. That's the average person, but it's kind of hard for them to grasp these, because these are high concepts. It takes a lot of brain power. It takes a lot of abstract thinking. When you're problem solving, you're working on a jet aircraft, whether it's the electronics or the avionics or any of the energy propulsion systems. If you're trying to deduce through logical processes, you know, you're trying to find where the fault is in the system, you still have to be able to project, you know, so somebody with that capacity, that ability, you know, is always an asset, right? So how many people become aircraft mechanics? when I took my ASMAT, you know, I tested out at 98% on the physical and 97% on the written, but they wanted me to be a rotary wing technician, which I would have loved. But the point being that you have to be able to do that type of problem solving in order. You can't always go by the book. I mean, you can go through a book, a manual, and it tells you to go through various steps.
You just hit it right on the target. You got this just right, because this is not everything's in the book. Okay.
Yeah, you have to be able. Okay, that's not. Yes. I know, because for Boeing, I used to do the technical manuals. Yeah, they would hand me sometimes just a written description of a procedure that needed to be performed. And so then I would have to come up with the technical illustrations in order for the mechanic or the technician to be able to use it. So you have to be able to have that abstract, that ability to think inside your head visually, right? And then be able to transfer it to your hands. That's another thing that makes man so different than apes. That's why evolution's a total bunk. If we were evolving, apes would be a bit further along than they are right now, you know. But what makes us different is the fact that we can manipulate our world around us to create tools. But that's a process. And sometimes, you know, it's becoming obvious in recorded history. Occasionally, we lose all that knowledge and we got to start from scratch. We got to start over again, right? And
so
I think that's
something big that you just brought something to my attention, because there's the straightforward robotic, there's the book, and this is the manual,
right?
By the book, by the manual, and because we had engineers who did the same job I did, but they could not leave the book. They could not leave the diagram. They could not.
Saw it all the time where, and it's no guarantee in education, for example, is actually valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw engineers with PhDs that couldn't do the problem solving. And here's this guy, totally uneducated, not even a finished high school education, right, but extremely bright, extremely intelligent, in that he could had very strong powers of observation and abstract thought and problem solving. He walks over, sticks his head under the hood, fixes the problem. Engineers watch him walk away and they're, how did he figure that out? I've seen that firsthand. And I'm sure that you, in your experience, is probably experienced. I know I have.
Just like, wait a minute. They're stuck on the diagram. No, you got to go out there. You got to feel. You got to say, wait a minute. If it's having this, instead of going through the FIM, or what are they?
You know what? And for example, you know what's really important? The ability to do diagnostics.
Yes.
Not just swap parts out. That gets expensive. It doesn't matter if it's an aircraft igniter. You've got to be able to, well, maybe it's not the igniter. Are you getting power to the igniter?
That is the most important thing. You do not swap parts. You verify, you check, you make sure you get it when you have to from
that comes down to understanding the systems you're dealing with, right? Understanding the engineering. You've got to have very good deductive powers of reasoning. You know, so no, education is not necessarily a determining factor. For example, back to just as an example, which comes back to Bob Lazar, probably not the most educated man, but he had very strong powers of observation. He had very good, very talented abilities of deductive reasoning. And that's probably why they brought him on board, right? To work at Area 51. But again, it comes back to just being able to be a free thinker, to think independently. And this is something else you don't get in, for example, places like Russia. You didn't get it in Soviet Russia. They would be good at, if they got a technology, back engineering it. But there's a reason why Soviet Russia, even Russia today, cannot advance technologically. It's the same goes for China. The same goes, for example, when they talk about AI. AI is just another mechanism to help man become more efficient. We are nowhere near, even though you hear all these doomsday. I know, I was a programmer. I know, as an engineer, what it takes to engineer, let alone manufacture. And then once it's manufactured, you see this in aircraft development. It takes them decades before they decide, okay, the system's good enough, you know, as a whole. Now we'll start building them for, you know, for actual end use, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you mean to tell me that AI is going to basically, within a year or two, 100 years, it's not going to, I'll tell you the reason I think this, because as somebody who's both, has two science degrees in computer science and engineering, right? I understand what you have to think about it. Not just think about it, you have to plan it out on paper digitally. I'm just using it as a figurative term. You have to put it on paper. Then from paper, from the drawing board, it goes to proof of concept. Proof of concept is, okay, let's take it to the shop. Let's now think about all the different components that have to go into that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Think about manufacturing an igniter for jet aircraft engine.
All about that.
Now think about the engine as a whole. You got the turbine blades, you got the compressor, you got the center axle for the engine. Really? Yeah. So now you want to talk about AI being able to, in the realm of science fiction, be at the point where it was in, for example, Terminator. So it has to manufacture itself. Well, there's only one problem with AI. It's limited by its physicality. What's its physicality? The technology that's used, i.e., you're using circuit boards, right? You're using silver, you're using copper, you're using silicone, right. You're using gold. All these things are what? They're physical properties of elements, yes. Right? So that electrical signal has to travel along a pathway, right? To get to the chip, yep. Which is basically a relay, right? But not only one chip, it's got to go through several dozens, right? Hundreds, thousands. But these are all physical properties. You know, these are all something that has a physicality to it. Uh-huh. Now, think about the human brain, how it works. That's done through a biological chemical process, right? So you get triggered, the synapse, right, is triggered through an electrical signal via the nerve endings to different various locations in the brain cells, right? But within that, your brain sits in what? It sits in a mass of basically salt water inside your cranial cavity, right? That's the fastest processor known to mankind, shy of the mind and the brain of God. Right. So, and now on that topic, think of God. He can be in the present, he can be in the past, he can be in the future, all at the same time. So he transcends what? Time and space. Time what space. Are you and I locked into?
Time and space.
Time and space, exactly. So back to AI. So you want to be afraid, and like everything else, COVID, you name it, Russia. They always need a boogeyman. They always need a bad guy. Who knows if these 9-foot-tall supposedly beings are actually real? Maybe it's a distraction. Who knows? These days, the way our government's operating, I don't trust anybody. I mean, I'm willing to entertain it for the sake of entertainment, but...
it's the system. The system is so corrupt. It's not one party or the other. They're both...
Yeah, but that's mankind. I mean, mankind has been corrupt ever since he was created. Ever since the fall of mankind. When Adam and Eve decided they weren't going to listen to God, the creator, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what's he know? Well, that was our first mistake.
Wow. But
we've been like this. So whenever I hear, for example, leftists and lefties,
oh, wouldn't it be nice? We all could just love one another and get along.
It's like, what earth were you born onto and into? That's not the earth we live on. That's the reason we have laws. You know, that's the reason what made the United States so strong was the fact that we were a nation of laws and people obeyed the laws. And it's the concept of laws that keep, and ever since laws were created, Hammurabi, ever since he created the first edicts that were written down, okay, if you want to divorce your wife, you got to do this. Okay, if you steal another man's horse, sheep, cow, whatever, you've got it. You have to do this or that. But the laws are meant to keep society and culture, starting in villages, cities, city states, countries, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's what makes us civilized. So, wait a minute. You're allowing disorder. i.e., for example, the Democrats, allowing all these riots. Well, there's a reason they do that. Like all Marxists and communists, that's how they're able to gain power. They gain power through discord, right? You're black. You're brown. You're yellow. You're red. I don't know about you, but I could give a rat's patootie what the color of your skin is. What I care about is what's your character. You know, that's what matters to me, but... That's why they, you know, they don't want Americans, for example, being joined at the hip. They want us to be, you know,
segregated
at each other's throats. But that's no different. Right. That's how corruption. That's how the evil few want to control the many. Is they keep us at each other's throats. They keep us occupied. What did Rome do with the games? right? Yeah. Gladiatorial games. Just the distraction from them basically stealing money and power from the Roman people, right? Until it was exactly. too late, and then Rome crumbled. Well, we're kind of in that state right now where we've got people that are above the law. They're telling us what to do, but at the same time, they can get away with it. Look at President Trump. He's being falsely accused of keeping documents that under other presidents was perfectly legal to have. Nothing was illegal in his possession. But they've turned that into something illegal. Well, how are they able to bend the laws like that? Because they're corrupt. It's real simple. It's not rocket science. Ancient Rome did that. Ancient Greece did that. You know, political opponents that they didn't like, that maybe were gaining more favor in the public eye, well, they would literally falsely accuse them, falsely try them, falsely hang them. What, Stalin didn't do that? Hitler didn't do that? The guy that brought Hitler to power, the brown shirts, he had him executed. What did he do to Rommel? Oh, take this pill, right? Because Rommel was part of the gang that wanted to assassinate Germany, Hitler, before Germany crumbled into the mess it crumbled into after Hitler suicided his people, right? At a certain point in 1941, they knew they were going to lose that war. But why did they fight on? Because Hitler figured, well, if they're not, you know, German people aren't, you know, good enough to, you know, beat the rest of the world, well, they're going to suffer for it. What, we're not any, our politicians, Biden? Why is Biden and his administration seeking to burn America to the ground so they can rule over the ashes? I mean, it's not rocket science, right? So you and a lot of other people are very intelligent, you know, free thinkers, critical thinkers. I think the ones I worry about are the ones that don't have that ability or the ones that don't have that capacity. And you don't have to be super intelligent. You just have to appreciate being able to connect the dots. Everybody's done a connect the dot puzzle as a kid, right? Who hasn't done that? Well, connect the dots, sooner or later you get the finished picture, right?
It's like, and it doesn't. That's what's going on. I always say, what is really going on? Because, you know, if anything, you know.
Well, I think that's why the powers that be realize that Americans, for example, are connecting the dots. And you see that happening in the liberal community, you know, more and more and more. And they know, right. Well, this is getting out of control. How do we put a lid on this? Well, you're watching the corruption in action. They're bypassing law, constitutional law, you know, the court case law. I mean, whatever it takes to what? Put a lid on the people finding out what's really. I think, God willing, if Americans actually ever really started digging, this goes back decades. I think it really started with the assassination of JFK. You know, I think that was when the CIA basically overstepped its boundaries and started working within. Listen, if you look at the charter of the CIA originally, it was set up to counter foreign governments, right?
Yes.
Right. And then they started manipulating, you know, by the 50s and 60s, foreign governments by what? Creating coup d'etats.
Yeah.
What, you don't think that those lessons that they learned wouldn't eventually be turned on Americans?
Right.
You'd have to be naive. It's just, as the saying goes, ultimate power does what? Corrupts, ultimately, right?
Yes,
that's where absolutely. We're at. That's where we're at right now. So that's why I always say, listen, I've had a good life at 63 years old. You know, I'm still in great shape, you know, exercise. I'm just chomping at the bit. You know, I don't want our progeny not to have what you and I had, or, you know, what Americans before us had. That's what we're supposed to do as Americans. We're supposed to look out for our progeny. And that, for example, started when Americans started allowing abortion. You're already murdering future Americans. So when that became blasé and okay, what's next? What's left that's no longer sacred anymore?
So
and there were a lot of things.
What's going to happen in China in the future if they keep, you know?
Well, I'm not worried about China because I lived there firsthand. I saw with my own two eyes. I heard with my own two ears. I lived among the people. I was very well received there. They used to call me brother all the time. As a matter of fact, that's where I got the name Wang Shu, because they, the iteration of my name, Wayne Scholes, the Asian tongue has a hard time pronunciating, you know, the consonants, the vowels, right? So Wang Shu, that was a alliteration of my name. That's where that came from.
Okay, but
they have the Chinese culture and people have an expression, and it's very true. And it goes, Chinese government is temporary. The Chinese people are forever. They're the oldest culture on the face of the earth. 3,000 to 5,000 years continuously, nonstop. That's the Chinese people, which I have a lot of respect for. Government, as an American, as I was raised, I always keep one eye open, always have with government. I don't trust them. And to be a good American, that's actually how you should think. You should think, you know, be that's mistrusting of our government. We have a long history of it. Our founding fathers, you know, there's a reason they broke away from England and, you know, started the American Revolution. Right. So for me, because again, of my history, I don't fear death. My fear is not being able to do selfishly all the things I want to do. Still, even at my age, you know, I've got a 418 projects to date that I've written and created, which driving on the road really goes a long way toward that for me.
Oh, yeah.
So there's, but that's selfish. I've been able to do, you know, God has blessed me abundantly. I've been able to do everything I've ever dreamt of doing since I was a kid, but I want others, I want our progeny to be able to have the same America that I had, you know, which was the ability to say whatever I want, whether it offends you or not, it's irrelevant. And that's a big part of our Americana, our history. Being able to, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be the president of the United States. If I met you, and trust me, if I was face to face with Joe Biden, I would not hold back my tongue with that man, not or anyone else for that matter. I mean, talk with people who work with me, you know. I'm a very outspoken, you know, person. If I see BS, I'm going to tell you to your face. I don't care what you think. You can take a slug at me, or swing at me. You might regret it, but you know, I've been known to break a few noses, break a few bones, even at my age. I was in a bar 3 years ago. Here's a story for you. So I'm in a bar. I couldn't get, it was a boxing match. And, you know, me, I'm a trained boxer, martial artist, and I love MMA, love boxing. Anyhow, so I go to, I can't remember, I think it was the match with Oscar De La Hoya, or it was just a, it was just, it wasn't a serious match, right? What do they call that, where it's just for, you know, promotional purposes? Anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just having a beer watching a fight, and there's a group of these guys in there. They're in their 20s, young guys, and one guy, big, muscular, big neck, he weightlift, obviously, and for some reason, he didn't like my smile, whatever, but he'd been giving me the evil eye all night long, right? So finally, by toward the end of the night, just out of the blue, you know, he's looking at me, and I just smile, and I chuckle to myself, right? And all of a sudden, I caught motion. He's hard charging me. I mean, he's looking at me. So I surprised myself after the fact. I was scared because I realized, wow, you still got it. I was 59 years old at the time. So the kid comes at me, and me being, you know, the martial artist I am, I slip him. He comes up into the crook of my arm, and I had him in a choke right? I didn't even have to think about it, right? I had my knee buried in the small of his back, and I had him in a very vulnerable position. I could have taken the heel of my hand, and his friends are all shocked. And I point them toward the exit, and I said, you see that exit? Your first mistake was trying to assault me. You don't want to make a second mistake. If you make any false move, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to fuck you up, or I'm going to kill you. So you make your way out that door as fast as you can. And I waited him toward the door, pushed him, right? He went out that door so fast, and his friends, the group comes over to me. I saw what happened. It happened so fast. You could have killed him. I said, I could have, but I didn't. I don't have a problem with you guys. I'm going to sit here and enjoy the rest of my beer. But I don't want to see him stepping foot back in this bar. And they gather in a group, and the groom goes outside, and he comes back, and they all leave. Point being that I'm ready. You know what? If the Second American Revolution happens like tonight, brother, send me a text message. I'm there. Bang! Because you know what? I don't have a fear of death. I never have. I mean, I've been shot. I don't know if you can see that. Been shot once, stabbed twice, God knows how many times. My nose has been broken, broken back, broken ribs. I mean, you name it. Wayne's broke it, but I don't fear life, but I don't fear death. And I know who my maker is, and I know who my savior is. So I know where I'm going. And if I happen to die doing the right thing, which is why I love and respect my fellow patriots, especially American veterans. Love you guys and gals. Thank you so much for your service. But as Jesus Christ said, blessed is he that dies for a friend. Brother, if I could die for a friend, no problem. And I got a lot of stories. I'm there. I'm not afraid to do that. So I'm not afraid to die for my fellow Americans, you know, whether they're aware of it or not. You know, this is my country. I love my country. I love God. I love my family. I love my country in that order. That's the way it should be. So for me, you know, I'm just waiting. I'm chomping at the bit. I'm waiting to get the text message. Wayne, meet us at such and such. It's time to party. All right. Finally, let's get this party started.
So one last iteration. I want to say this. I am not, okay, it's not about politics. It's the people who love America. That's what it's all about.
Ultimately, we're all Americans. We're all in this together, right. But I'm not gonna go down on my knee for anybody but God Almighty.
Right.
I'm gonna die on my feet, you know. And again, it has nothing to do with politics. It's you know, this is America. Whether you're aware of it or not, but I think, I'm more and more convinced of this, that even if you're a liberal American and you're smart, you see what's going on around you, and you know, it's okay not to go with the flow. It's okay. That's what it means to rebel, truly rebel against authority. And America has a long history of rebelling against. I mean, the country was founded on the rebellion against authority. Yeah. That's our longstanding tradition. We could have, you know, stepped away from World War II, you know, and let the rest of the world, you know, succumb. But we didn't do that because we didn't. We stepped up to the plate, and a lot of Americans died, as we have, you know, ever since. Now, I'm against foreign wars. I don't think we should be involved in them. And even some of my conservative friends, well, you're a liberal. No, I'm an American. I don't believe that we have any. It's like our founding fathers said, we should sign no treaties with any foreign powers. None. Zip. Because what does that do? It's the same thing it's done for thousands of years. It pulls you into a war. That's always what treaties do. Now, if it's a trade treaty, you know, okay, we'll trade this with you. That's okay. Our founding fathers agreed with that. But when it comes to treaties of war, like being in Ukraine, I love my Ukrainian brothers and sisters. I think they need our help, right? But there's a lot we're not being told, you know, about that war, you know, that I don't like. And like anything, you know, if I'm buying a car or a house, I want disclosure. I want to be able to make a more informed decision. Right. You know, okay, what am I really paying for? That's just being smart. So, you know, I think...
You got a point there. Just to make it interesting, the F-16s they want to send over there, I actually worked on those very F-16s. They're coming from Holland. They are not up to par in the U.S.
There's too much money going over there that isn't being accounted for. Yes. And I grew up around the mob, and I know what I see when I see it. And when you see that, for example, the mob in New York at its height, at its pinnacle during the 80s, they had the market on concrete, right? So all these skyscrapers and steel are being built, and they're making billions, hundreds of billions of dollars off of skimming money off that concrete and that steel, right? So you mean to tell me all that billions, trillions of dollars that eventually will be going to Ukraine, nothing's being skimmed? Really?
Well, I know that's going to, FTX has given it to congressmen and senators and other people. Did you hear the last week they said, some of the material we marked for Ukraine ended up at the border of the United States. Machine guns, all kinds of stuff was coming back to our border, the southern border.
Yeah. Well, think about this. The incompetence of the Biden administration, right? I don't think that that's so much deliberate. Some of it, I think it's the incompetence comes from greed. And by that, let's just say, take a TOW missile launcher. You send 1,000 of them to Ukraine. And I'm just using that number as just to do simple math. So you send 1,000 of them to Ukraine. Well, they only need 300, or they only need 600. Where'd the other 400 go? Well, those are going to be sold on the open market, right? And maybe to our own enemies. Listen, as corrupt as Mexico is, for example, I think we've got them beat by our present administration and all the cronies within our, pick your alphabet agency, DOJ, FBI, CIA, doesn't matter, DOT. Okay, so then that makes its way to Afghanistan, and then from Afghanistan, it makes its way to... If Afghanis and Chinese can be coming across our southern border,
everybody
you think weapons could be coming too?
Yes.
Maybe those weapons logistically are being placed. Maybe, just maybe, the enemies, which the CIA could be cooperating with, I wouldn't put it above them at this stage, at this level.
Right.
Everybody is so desperate right now to keep the status quo, they're willing to slit their own throats. So I think there's probably, I don't know to what extent, but I think to be an intelligent and critical thinking American, you would have to question and be formulating these questions. You know, well, what's really going on? And those weapons,
there's no hope in Russia.
Listen, I'm a trucker. I know how easy it would be to smuggle stuff in. I'll give you an example. I showed up at a client, right? I was supposed to pick up an empty load. Okay. Me, being the honest soul that I am, a lot of people would say I'm stupid, but I have to live with my conscience, ultimately answer to God. Praise the Lord. I go, as I always do, even if they say it's empty, I check.
Right.
Yep. It's filled from the front firewall to the rear door with electronics.
What?
I'm talking, you name it, it was on board, okay? And that rig had probably a merchandise value of millions of dollars, easy. 1.5, 2 million, and I might even be underestimating it. They might have had a street value of $500,000. So I could have hypothetically, they would have never known.
Right.
I could have closed the doors. It's an empty trailer. Pulled it out. Met with a mob buddy. He gives me $150,000 cash. He gets, you know, he gets $400,000 merchandise worth, you know, three times what he paid me, right?
Right.
But that's a hypothetical. Now, ultimately what happened is I called the client. I said, listen, you guys, I'm not picking up an empty. They were totally confused. Well, it's empty in the system. I said, no, it's not. You've probably got at least $1.5 to $2 million in merchandise on this trailer. What would you like me to do with it? I could just hear the panic on the other end, right?
Wow.
So yeah. Ultimately, you know, I let the trailer be. They took care of it. I was given an empty and toddled off. But
wow.
I know how easy it is, that easy. Trust me. So if you were going to smuggle anything, how much money does it take to take somebody, for example, at that facility? How much money would it take to bribe that kid at the gate?
Oh, yeah.
To record that an empty trailer was going out? I wouldn't have even had to do that. I wouldn't even had to bribe the kid. But think about how much, Listen, if you as a population, like in Russia, perfect example. You want to know why Russia is losing the war and has been up to this point with Ukraine? It's because of the corruption, first and foremost, at every level, from the top all the way down. So you're paying a conscript $30 a month to sacrifice his life for someplace he doesn't want to be. Well, you know why all those tanks were stuck on their way to Kyiv?
Oh, yeah.
They ran out of fuel. Well, why did they run out of fuel? Because these $30 a month conscripts, well, we don't need the fuel. I'm going to put a few bucks in my pocket. I'm going to sell it.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example of you got somebody like at the very top of American government. Now think about from the president down, how many fingers are in that? Hi. How much money do you have to go around to grease? Remember, I grew up around the mob to grease everybody along the way, from spokespeople, head figures at the DOJ, head figures in the CIA, head figures at the FBI, from Ray down. Now, I'm not saying everybody within these organizations is dirty, but I know what I see. And what I see is so much corruption, that's how you get away with it. Think about the judges in New York that signed off on the arrest of Donald Trump for obviously trumped up, wouldn't hold up in a kangaroo court. Well, it obviously did this time. So that tells me, because of my experiences, life experiences, my intellect, this is really bad. I mean, it's so bad. And it comes back to why I would be willing to fight the Second American Revolution in a heartbeat, just like that, because it's constitutionally provided for.
Yeah.
It's in our Constitution. Yeah. We have literally our founding fathers' permission. Not only that, but we have an obligation. Just as we have an obligation, if Uncle Sam comes and knocks at our door and asks us for help, it's not because we have to. We don't have to. We do it out of the goodness of our hearts. But if we're lied to and being told, well, you have to be a patriotic American and go fight in Vietnam. Well, that's okay, but what's the reason? Is it justifiable? I don't like Americans, my fellow Americans, dying for a foreign war in a foreign land for the greed and corruption of global corporations who are paying our politicians, and they're on their payroll and they're in their back pocket. People, men like Joe Biden, who's obviously corrupt like nobody's ever seen in the history of the world, let alone history of America. And look, the guy is, every sentence, he cannot utter one single sentence without forgetting where it was he was going to go with it. And he starts a new sentence. That guy's in charge of America? obviously somebody's behind the scenes pulling his strings. That's the only way something like that works. Again, it's just logic, deductive reasoning. The man has no capacity to think. Jerry, look, the conversation you and I have had for what, the past hour? Mm-hmm. You have to be able to string, you know, one thought into another to have a continuous logical conversation. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
He can't even do that. So who's really running the show? I have my own suspicions. I think there's a number. I suspect first and foremost it's Barack Obama, and then there's an umbrella of people who are assisting behind the scenes.
Well, did you saw her press conference with the press secretary? She said, "I just spoke to Obama a few minutes ago." I saw that.
I also recall an interview that Barack Obama gave when he was about to leave office, and he said that he'd be willing to do this if he could just operate by proxy. That'd be okay with him
behind the scenes. I know. It seems like that's cool.
But what the media, lamestream media, counts on is the Americans' forgetfulness and ignorance. But that's nothing new. It's just getting worse and worse. And that's a result of our education system, where they're not teaching our children to think for themselves, to be critical thinkers. Now, when I was in school, I don't know about you, speaking for myself, that was a very highly prized, but I was the last generation where that was, you know, pounded into you, you know, think for yourself. Well, I told you at the beginning of this interview, my parents, their whole motto, life isn't fair. You got to be able to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You've got to be able to think for yourself. And that's how my parents raised me. And that was the era I grew up in. Get in fights all the time. My parents never worried about me when I got in a fight. The bully tried to pick on me, which happened. I beat the crap out of that kid. And I kept an eye on other kids, too. And that bully never beat the crap out of anybody else after the fact. That's been true, like, literally, when I was a bouncer. One of the reasons I loved bouncing was beating up bullies. I relished it. I loved it. And that's a good American. If there's another quality that Americans should possess, it's the disdain and contempt for anyone who bullies anybody. You know?
Okay.
It's America. Listen.
Just based on that, what do you think about the subway situation, the former Marine?
I think that's rotten. I think that's an attack on every American's ability to protect themselves, self-defense. It's real simple.
Yeah.
He wasn't just protecting himself. He was protecting others from this guy.
Yeah.
But that's another example of a Marxist. Yes. Yeah. In New York, let's face it, New York is basically run by nothing but Marxists and communists. My understanding is the guy has gotten, I think at this point, millions of dollars in contributions for his defense, which, thank God. But no, I think that's an attack on all of us. If we allow this as Americans, we allow this to stand, none of us are safe. Well, the same holds true for President Trump. If we as Americans allow him to be railroaded like he's been railroaded for ever since he left office, listen, if they'll go after him, you think they're going to stop it, you or me?
No, but I think fortunately the contrast is so high that people are seeing right through them. It's ridiculous. You know, you can't have all these people with these secret files and you're picking on the guy who's actually supposed to have them.
Not only that, but when you look at Biden, it's everywhere. I mean, it's falling out of the cracks. They can't control it. They can't stop it.
1,800 boxes, over 1,800 boxes. China.
Yeah, so I think that's part of God's will, you know, to allow all of this to be exposed. Again, whether you believe in God or not is irrelevant. He exists. It doesn't matter. You're not believing in him. It isn't going to stop the fact. The point being that if you study, even if you just study it from a secular standpoint, to this very day, Bible prophecy and the truth in history, it's been proven. Listen, if there are only 400 examples of Plato being a real person. And yet liberals will believe that. But there are over 60,000 examples of Jesus Christ, and every prophecy that's come true in the Bible to date, hard examples. But you don't want to believe that, but you want to believe that Plato lived. The law of numbers alone, mathematically, but we speak of the facts. And since when are true leftists interested in the facts? Facts be damned, that doesn't matter. So in the case of Trump, in the case of the Marine in New York, defending himself and others, back to Americans, it doesn't matter anymore whether you're a liberal or a conservative, a critical thinking human being, let's call it. Let's not divide the lines along those politics.
Right, no, we can't do that.
Which is scaring the powers that be. And by powers that be, I mean everyone from Biden up, everyone who basically secured the fraudulent election for him to win so they could do exactly what they're doing now. You have all that above him and above, and below him that's corrupt. They're deathly afraid. Listen, Nancy Pelosi, the January 6th kangaroo court, there's a reason they did that, because they know they're going to have to pay the piper. And think about this. There are over 130 million guns in America. There are how many millions? 110 million veterans, which is, didn't they just release this past week some kind of derogatory, disparaging remark about psychologists finding that those people who are the most threatening to America are veterans? I don't know about you, but I think that's American saving grace, our veterans. There's 110 million of them, let alone, listen, there's 330 million Americans. We own 130 million guns. That means there's one gun to go around for almost every American veteran and then some. And that's just the one they know about. I don't know about you. I'm not going to disclose the number of guns I have, but let's just say it's quite a few. But I'm not about to disclose the number, because I'd be the one handing out, oh, you want an AR? Here. So, you want an AR? Here. You want an AR? Here. Oh, you want one too? Okay. You might need about 1,000 rounds here. You can't take
it. Everything you have the guns.
Now go and be a good American.
Yes.
That's what a good American is you defend America. You defend our future generations against exactly what they're trying to turn us into at this very moment. If not now, when? If not now, when? Because right now, America, you can go either way. Either we go up or we go down. I think we have a lot of potential. I happen to be optimists. I think the cup is half empty, not half full. So I think from this point on, that's why I'm itching. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. Come on, let's get this party started.
So you have any last anything you want to say before we go?
No, I just, other than thank you so much. It's been too long. We need to talk more often. And if you ever want to pick my brain, by all means, feel free to do so. Love you, brother. I love all our American veterans. Again, thank you guys so much for everything you've done, and I mean that, and those who've made the ultimate sacrifice. God bless your eternal souls. That's about it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me
tonight, and we're going to talk offline at another date.
Okay.
So,
All right. Take care. God bless, Kevin. We'll talk to you later.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good one,
sir. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. All right, that was Mr. Wayne Schultz. Very intelligent guy. Learned a lot every time. This guy is amazing. So I've known him for a while now. It's been a long time since we talked, but you'll be hearing more from him in the future, and we'll talk about that then. Until then, I'm going to take this broadcast. We're going to put it on the radio program for tomorrow night. I'm going to have that go across the airwaves. That's Wayne's old stopping grounds there sometimes. So, yeah, welcome. Welcome next week, and no show tomorrow night. Thank you very much, and God bless America. I'm going to end this broadcast. Here we go.